Hello and welcome to Lewis Needus Law and the Lewis Needus Podcast. I'm your host, Holly Sonnebend, and today we'll be talking to solicitor Abigail Grace Williams. Abigail qualified as a solicitor in September 2017 and assists both individual and corporate clients in a wide variety of commercial disputes. She prides herself in providing honest and pragmatic advice from the outset of her instruction. Abigail is an avid negotiator and has expertise in the following areas: commercial contract disputes, debt and enforcement, construction disputes, employment disputes, intellectual property matters, and professional negligence. Today, we will be discussing employment law with Abigail and the recent developments surrounding equal pay between men and women in the workplace. Today we will be discussing employment law with Abigail and the recent developments surrounding equal pay between men and women in the workplace. Abigail, welcome to the show. So first, please tell me a little more on the history and current issues surrounding equal pay in the workplace.
So the gender pay gap is something that used to be widely accepted within the workplace. The Equal Pay Act 1970 was the first piece of UK legislation which enshrined the right to pay equally between men and women. The Act sets out that an individual can claim equal pay where she or he, when compared with a comparator of the opposite sex, is employed in either similar work, work graded as equivalent within a job evaluation scheme, or work of equal value, the latter being with reference to the level of skill, knowledge and responsibility. The Equal Pay Act has subsequently been incorporated into the Equality Act 2010, but remains much the same. These pieces of legislation were brought in to prohibit less favourable treatment between men and women in terms of the conditions of employment, including remuneration, i.e. pay. However, despite this year marking the 50th anniversary of the Equal Pay Act, there still appears to be women fighting to be paid the same as their male counterparts. As a result of this, under the Equality Act 2010, Gender Pay Information Regulations 2017, obligations have been imposed upon all organisations with 250 employees or more to provide the following. Firstly, the mean pay gap. In other words, the difference between the average hourly earnings of men and women. Secondly, the median pay gap. In other words, the difference between the midpoints in the ranges of hourly earnings between men and women. Thirdly, how many men and women are in each quartile of the employer's payroll. And finally, the percentages of staff receiving bonuses by gender and the gender gap on bonuses. As a result of these regulations, many organisations were forced to publicise the pay of its highest earners, revealing what appeared to be unjustifiable differences, which in turn caused complaints from just disgruntled female employees. One such example is a dispute involving the BBC and presenter Samira Ahmed. Miss Ahmed has recently won her employment tribunal claim against the BBC in a dispute over equal pay. Ahmed argued that she was underpaid in comparison to fellow male presenter Jeremy Vine, whilst they were both presenting similar programmes. Between 2008 and 2018, Vine was paid £3,000 per episode of Points of View, which was shown on BBC One, whilst Ahmed was paid a mere £400 per episode for Newswatch, which was shown on BBC Breakfast and the BBC News Channel. The onus was on the BBC to demonstrate that the difference in pay was due to reasons other than sex discrimination, and the BBC failed to do so. The tribunal found that the difference in pay was striking, in that Vine was paid more than six times that of Ahmed for undertaking very similar work. The BBC argued that Vine had a greater profile, that Points of View reached a larger public audience, and that entertainment and news require different skills from presenters. However, this did not persuade the tribunal that the difference in pay was justified. The BBC has since commented that it was unable to call people who had made decisions as far back as 2008 and have since long left the BBC, and it further admitted that its pay framework in the past had not been transparent and fair enough, and that it had since then made significant changes to address this.
It is clearly still the case that women are struggling to obtain equal pay within the workplace. What are the next steps being taken to tackle this issue?
So in January of this year, the Equal Pay Bill 2019 to 2020 was introduced as a private members' bill in the House of Lords. The bill aims to give women who suspect that they may be suffering pay discrimination a statutory right to know what a male comparator is being paid. And it would also allow employment tribunals to grant just and equitable extensions of time limits for bringing an equal pay claim. Further, it would widen the scope of gender pay gap reporting, extending it to employers with 100 or more employees rather than those with 200 or more, as is the case now. The bill would also introduce mandatory ethnicity pay gap reporting, but this is not something that I go into detail on within this podcast. The bill had its first reading on the 28th of January this year. The date for the second reading has not yet been announced, and it is not yet known if the government will support the bill. The bill would introduce a statutory right to know about a comparator's pay, and it was developed by a working committee made up of equal pay and human resources experts. The research that accompanied the bill revealed that an astonishing 40% of people do not know that women have a right to equal pay for work of equal value. Meanwhile, only 36% of people know that women have a legal right to ask male colleagues about their salary if they believe they may be a victim of pay discrimination. It should, however, be noted that this is just the right to ask and is different from an obligation on the employer to disclose this, which is what the Equal Pay Bill would bring.
So what do all these developments mean for employers, and what should they be doing to ensure that they are not facing any pay discrimination claims?
The case against the BBC really does emphasise the need for employers to ensure that pay frameworks are fair and transparent, particularly with regards to employees providing similar services and who have equal experience and skill. If an employer is concerned that they may be leaving themselves at risk of a potential equal pay claim, employers should compare any terms in the contract of employment for the employees they are concerned about, and compare this with the equivalent terms in a comparator's contract. For this purpose, a comparator is an employee of the opposite sex, doing similar work and of equal value. Therefore, employers must ensure that there are such genuine reasons in place if any pay discrepancy is discovered. Further, employers should bear in mind that the equal terms can cover all aspects of pay and benefit, including basic pay, overtime rates, performance-related benefits, hours of work, access to pension schemes, non-monetary terms, and also annual leave entitlements. It is therefore essential that all these elements are considered in any comparison exercise. Employers must further be aware that since the 1st of October 2014, any employer who loses an equal pay claim could be forced to conduct an equal pay audit and publish the results. This could subsequently lead to further claims being brought by employees, and it is therefore essential that employers ensure that they are not leaving themselves at risk of any potential equal pay dispute.
Thank you for your time, Abigail. How can someone contact you should they wish for your assistance in a potential equal pay dispute?
My direct dial contact number is 0207 691 4587. My email address is awilliams@lewisneedas.co.uk, and you can also find me on LinkedIn under Abigail Grace Williams.
Fantastic. That's all from the Lewis Needers podcast today. You can find us at Lewis Needers Law on Twitter and at lewisneedas.co.uk. Thank you for listening.